WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. You probably don't know what a police officer does on a day-to-day basis, and that's no accident. It's not something Chicago's police department grants public access to. Even reporters have a hard time getting a look under the hood of CPD. But some say this has led to bigger problems. For one, it may have created an empathy gap for cops. And that's an issue the next mayor of Chicago will have to tackle, because crime and policing have been top of mind for lots of voters. My colleague Esther Yoon-Ji Kang talked to WBEZ criminal justice reporter Patrick Smith to get a closer look at the issue.
Patrick, why is there such a disconnect between Chicago's police department and the public?
Yeah, you know, I think there are multiple reasons. I think activists would say the reason is because there's a history of abuse by police officers. I think police officers and their supporters would say it's because they have a hard job to do, and sometimes it means they have negative interactions with the public. They might also honestly blame the media for – I think a lot of officers would blame the media for the disconnect. But I do think one big cause of it is that there's a real lack of understanding, as you were just saying, about what police officers do every day, the challenges they face, what their jobs are like. And I think that that is exacerbated by the fact that there is – really limited access. Reporters are given really limited access to officers, especially officers just sort of doing their day-to-day work so that the public can be better informed about what that day-to-day work looks like.
Well, so talk about the CPD's public relations strategy up till now. I mean, how have you seen it impact the perception, public perception of the department?
Yes. So I think the practice, and I'm not going to say it's like an out-and-out policy, but the practice is more or less to stick to press releases and press conferences as the way to interact with the media and therefore interact with the public. And what that means is that the public is mostly just hearing from, like, you know, highly politicized figures like the police superintendent, you know, somebody who's definitely got talking points and sticking to an agenda, or they're hearing from, like, the president of the police union, who right now is John Catanzara, a very controversial right-wing figure. And it sets up this place where you're not really cutting through to, like, the day-to-day challenges. You're on this sort of high politicized level that that I think hurts the public.
Well, do most police departments work this way? Why is this how Chicago's police department chooses to communicate with the public?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I could be strong enough to say most, but I know that there are many other departments that allow greater access. We're doing something like shadowing a detective or shadowing an officer or going on a ride along is just not that difficult of an ask. You know, I talked to Charlie Beck, who used to be the chief in Los Angeles. He talked about they had the manual said, yeah, if you're a police officer and you know the information that's being asked, you're allowed to answer it if you want to. In Chicago, that is not how it's set up. And I don't want to say that there's never any access to officers, but it's set up to largely limit those interactions. And the reasons why, I mean, I think, you know, having talked to people, there are legal and safety concerns that make it difficult sometimes to give reporters the access they want. But I also think there's just fear about, you know, somebody might say the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Somebody might make a scandalous remark, or it might come off wrong, and it's better if we just keep things controlled.
Why is it important then for a community and their police department to have open communication and understanding and empathy for one another?
Well, because one, police and residents interact every day. Police serve the public. I mean, we spend $2 billion a year here in Chicago on our police department, roughly. Roughly $2 billion a year on our police department. It makes sense that we as a public have a vested interest in sort of knowing exactly what that looks like, not just getting, you know, stats or really high-level stuff, but getting in on the nitty-gritty. And also, we've seen a movement over the last, you know, 10 years at least, of more citizen engagement, more citizen engagement with police, more police accountability, more sort of the idea that police need to be governed by the public. And if you're going to have more residents weighing in on police policy and police behavior, you need those residents to understand what they're talking about.
You spoke with Anthony Driver. He's the president of Chicago's new Community Commission for Public Safety and Accountability, about his attempts to get to know what a CPD officer's day looks like. How did that go for him?
Yeah, so he, he's somebody who's been like thinking about and working on policing issues for years, but he had never done a ride along until recently. He asked to do a ride along, and he said, despite having thought about this for years, it's something he cares about a lot. He's a very knowledgeable person. He said it was really eye opening for him to go on a ride along with officers and see. You know, he said, like, how many mental health-related calls they deal with, how much paperwork they have to do, the dangers that they face on a daily basis, just, like, not mortal dangers, but physical danger that they're facing that nobody ever hears about. And so talking to him, it was really interesting because he's like, I think about this, and this is really important to me, but this completely changed my perspective on what police do and what their day-to-day jobs are. Not every resident is going to get to have that experience, but the whole purpose of the press is to bring that message, bring that sort of experience to the public.
What kinds of dangers did he talk about?
He talked about, like, he said one of the officers he shadowed, like they encountered somebody who they encountered like all the time because they work a beat, and the officer like knew that this person was going to swing on them at some point in their interaction, knew that at some point the person was going to try to make that interaction violent. That, again, is not a mortal danger. It's something this officer expected and knew how to handle. But it's not something that you think about. Like, police just, they know. If a police officer knows his or her beat, knows their beat, they're going to know the people who might be a threat to them.
Now, Patrick, you wanted to shadow a CPD officer for the fifth season of WBEZ's Motive podcast, which you hosted and produced, about the work of anti-violence workers. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, so I spent months with these anti-violence workers. Honestly, the project started like more than a year ago. And we ended up producing this series, this season of Motive, that shows their lives and the work they do, sort of the good and the bad. It shows them having a real impact. It also shows the struggles that they go through and some of the difficulties and the times when they can have an impact. And while I was doing that reporting, reached out to CPD repeatedly. Hey, I'd love to shadow officers who work in this West Side area that I'm covering, or detectives who are trying to solve some of the shootings and murders that are coming up in this. And it didn't go anywhere. Those requests never went anywhere. And I think that's a real lost opportunity for the police department, for police officers, and for the public, because yes, I bet some stuff would have come up if I had gotten to shadow them that wouldn't have looked great for the department. But I also think people would have come away with a much better understanding of what it's really like to be a police officer in Chicago.
Well, I wonder what your thoughts are on this. I mean, what role do we, the media, play when it comes to this disconnect between the public and the police that we're talking about here?
Well, yeah, I really hope nobody takes this article as an excuse. It's not – I hope it doesn't come off as me being like, hey – or us reporters being like, hey, listen, we can't do our jobs effectively, so don't blame us if you're getting the wrong impression or something like that. I think in everything, we as reporters have a responsibility to be as accurate and fair as we possibly can, to be as nuanced as we possibly can, to get as deep as we possibly can. So I'm going to keep trying to do that. I'm just saying, hey, why doesn't the police department make this easier for everybody?
That makes sense. You know, earlier this month, the sister of deceased police officer Thomas Wortham called on journalists covering the visitation of another slain police officer to, quote, report accurately about what police do, end quote. What do journalists like yourself need in order to do that?
Yeah, that was a sentiment that I heard a lot. I was outside the visitation for Officer Andres Vasquez Lasso, who was murdered in the line of duty. And I heard from a lot of people that we as a media had a responsibility to make sure people really understood what officers were facing every day, and this feeling that there was, like we're talking about, a real gap in understanding. And I would say, again, need is strong. Like, we can do our best to do that with the tools we have now, but I do think the police department, the Chicago Police Department, could make it easier so that people really understood that exact point by allowing more access to officers as they're doing their day-to-day work.
Well, we are less than a week away from the mayoral runoff. You know, as we know, crime and policing are top of mind for many Chicago voters headed to the polls. What do we know about how the two runoff candidates plan on approaching public access to police?
Yeah, so the candidates have – we asked both of them to weigh in on this article. Paul Vallis, he did not respond to requests for an interview, didn't respond to a written question. Brandon Johnson, the other candidate in the runoff, he said he believes in transparency and opening up more access to the government, but he didn't make any firm commitments to change the sort of practice at CPD.
Patrick Smith is a criminal justice reporter for WBEZ. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Esther.
That episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Brenda Ruiz and edited by Stephanie Kim. You can check out that full story and a lot of other great local reporting at WBEZ.org/live. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
Teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.